America's longest war, in fact, predates Iraq and Afghanistan by a long shot, folks.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one in the United States, the problem of dangerous drugs.
President Nixon declaring war on drugs back in 1971. Like Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, and Korea, Congress did not declare this war. The president acted unilaterally. Unlike those bloody conflicts, though, the term war was to be a metaphor for U.S. resolve to wipe out drug use in the United States and the organized crime that supported it. The consequences of this 40-year metaphoric war have been some real casualties. Devastated cities, the highest incarceration rate in the world, 1.5 million drug abuse violations in 2011 alone, with blacks accounting for 53.5% of persons admitted to state prison with new convictions for drug offenses. The figure for whites, only 33.3%. Neil Franklin joins us from Washington, D.C. He's a former Maryland state police officer and the executive director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, an organization of current and former police officers that works to redirect current drug policies. Mr. Franklin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Let's talk about this milestone, 40 years of the war on drugs. You and some others have prepared a marking of that milestone. Why is it significant to you, and what do you see as the legacy?
Well, as you mentioned, it is our longest war, and metaphorically or not, it is a war. It is truly a war against people. You mentioned some figures regarding prison. I think many people do not know that the United States, 5% of the world's population we have here, but yet we have almost 25% of the world's prisoners. You know, that's definitely a war. But even more important than that is the violence that we have in our streets. So for four decades now, as law enforcement has been pushing extremely hard, combating these drug gangs in our streets in Mexico, Central America is dealing with the same issue. We're having thousands upon thousands of drug prohibition-related murders. You know, and now it's time for a call to action. It's time for it to end. Four decades is long enough of this mayhem in our streets.
And your approach would be to simply end the war, basically unilaterally decide, all right, we're going to get rid of prohibition laws. We're going to legalize cocaine, possibly heroin, marijuana already being legalized in states around the United States, and just let the chips fall where they may?
Well, in a sense, what we're advocating for is a form of regulation and control, as we have with the most dangerous drug of all, which is alcohol. And we ended alcohol prohibition after only 13 years back in the 1920s. Actually, in 1933, we repealed the 18th Amendment. And, you know, alcohol prohibition was only a form of decriminalization. You know, it was okay to drink alcohol and possess it. You just couldn't transport it, sell it, or make it. You know, so if my grandparents realized that after 13 years of the violence with the Tommy guns and drive-by shootings back then, that it was bad for our country, why can't we see the same thing today? So we have to decide on the different forms of regulation and control we need, because under prohibition, drugs have become more dangerous, more plentiful, more problematic. We have more disease being transmitted than ever before. Overdose deaths, and it's just time to end the madness. You know, it used to be legal once before. You could buy heroin at your local drugstore for $4.85 an ounce.
You know, let's talk about the difference between alcohol and some of those dangerous drugs that you describe, or just drugs that you describe.
Sure.
The prevailing sort of cultural permissiveness about alcohol is not shared with heroin, cocaine, and marijuana. What would happen to that sense that drugs are not a mainstream activity but more of a fringe activity if they were legalized? Would that go away, or would the stigma against drug use in the United States serve to help regulators try to control what's going on in the drug market?
I think that we would see a huge change. And don't get me wrong, I don't think alcohol is this great success story, but we definitely don't want prohibition back and, you know, bringing the violence back and lining the pockets of organized crime with billions of dollars like we do now with the drug trade. But I do believe that if we end the criminalization of it, you know, if we formed a market for regulation and control similar to what we do with alcohol, we stand a better chance of reducing use. Right now, under prohibition, we have more drug dealers who hire children to sell these drugs to just about anyone who has the money, including other children. If we focus more on health and education, as we did with cigarettes over the past couple of decades, one of the most addictive drugs we've ever seen, you know, and we cut use with tobacco products almost in half over the past couple of decades. Let's do the same thing with these other drugs that we have out here, including alcohol. And maybe it's time to revamp our alcohol policies in this country as well.
What would you do about drugs that have a much more difficult health and sort of social consequence, like crystal meth, for instance, easy to produce, highly addictive, and devastating to whole communities?
Well, you know, I don't think they're as problematic as they would be under forms of regulation and control. It is our current policies of prohibition that make that cause most of the problems that we have with these drugs that are out there. And there's a book that has recently come out by a Columbia University professor by the name of Carl Hart.
He's been on our show a couple of times.
Well, I hope your listeners were listening to him. I won't go any further, but you need to get his book and you'll understand more about these drugs.
As a 34-year experienced cop, you think that the approach that we used on cigarettes will actually help in the communities that you worked in?
I have no doubt that it will, but the biggest change that we will see is a great reduction in murders, violent crime, robberies, and burglaries. That's my belief.
Major Neil Franklin is a former Maryland State Police officer at the Baltimore Police Department and Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Major, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, an enterprising musician makes music with the icon of Paris, the Eiffel Tower, as a musical instrument. A little percussion there later this hour on The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.